Amen. All right. Anybody here named Bubba? Usually that's a safe name, but I'm going to use it anyway. And praise God, none of you are here. At least you didn't raise your hand. But anyway, Bubba, he's bragging to his boss one day, and he says, "Hey, boss, you know what? I know everyone there is to know, right? In fact, you know what? You just name anyone, someone, I guarantee I know him." So his boss, Bubba's boss, he's sick and tired of this, Pastor Tom, right? And so he decided, you know what? I'm going to call his bluff. And he says, "All right, Bubba, tell you what, how about Tom Cruise, right?" And Bubba goes, sure, Tom and I were old friends, man, and I can prove it to you." So Bubba and his boss, they fly out to Hollywood. They actually knock on Tom Cruise's door, and sure enough, Tom Cruise shouts, "Hey, Bubba, look, great to see you. You and your friend come right on in and join me for lunch." Well, although he's impressed, Bubba's boss, he's still skeptical, and after they leave Tom Cruise's house, he tells Bubba that he thinks that Bubba knowing Tom Cruise is just lucky, John, right? So Bubba says, no, boss, I'm telling you, just name anybody else. And so his boss says, "Oh, yeah? How about President Trump?" Yeah, Bubba goes, Yeah, I know President Trump. I know him. Let's fly out to Washington." So off they go. And so they're at the White House there, and Trump actually spots Bubba on the tour, and he motions him and his boss over, and he says, "Bubba, hey, what a surprise. I was just on my way to a meeting, but you and your friend, come on in, and let's have a cup of coffee first and catch up." Well, Bubba's boss, he's pretty shaken by now, but he's still not totally convinced, right? So after they leave the White House grounds, he expresses his doubts to Bubba, and who again implores them, "I'm telling you, just name anybody else." And so his boss says, "Oh, yeah, how about the Pope?" Yeah. So Bubba says, "The Pope? Sure, I know the Pope. Yeah, hey, my folks are from Europe. I've known the Pope for a long time." So they fly off to Rome, and Bubba and his boss, they're assembled there with the masses at Vatican Square, and Bubba goes, "You know what, this is never going to work. I can't catch the Pope's eye among all these people. And I tell you what, boss, I know all the guards here, so they'll let me in. I'll just go upstairs, and I'll come out on the balcony with the Pope." Okay? And so Bubba disappears in the crowd, right? And he's headed up there towards the Vatican and all. And sure enough, I kid you not, about a half hour later, Bubba, he emerges with the Pope on the balcony, right? But by the time Bubba returns back to his boss, he finds that his boss had a heart attack. And he's surrounded by all these paramedics. So Bubba works his way to his boss's side there. And he says, boss, what happened? And his boss, he looks up and he says, I was doing fine until you and the Pope came out on the balcony. And the man next to me said, "Who's that on the balcony with Bubba?" Some people are better known than others, right? It's obviously the lesson that's there. But believe it or not, folks, did you know the Bible says, believe it or not, listen, this is the exact same scenario that many people across our planet, many is the key word, are going to face one day, okay? Only this scenario, listen, is not going to be at the Vatican. Listen, this scenario will be played out before the very throne room of God. The very throne room of God, and people will literally have the same kind of heart attack response. But it won't be to the words, "Who's that with Bubba?" It'll be to the words, "Who's that with Jesus?" And people, if that's the words that you hear, instead of "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," on that day, many people believe that day is what's called Judgment Day, the Great White Throne Judgment. It will seal your fate for all eternity into a place the Bible calls the lake of fire. You don't want to be at the great white throne judgment. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God. So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Now this is really cool. We're going to actually tie two passages together. Maybe on the outset, kind of make, well, how does that fit together? But they do, okay? One's from Jesus, our opening text, in Matthew 17. Then we're going to take a look at the great white throne judgment, okay, Revelation 20. But you're dealing with the same time frame, okay? Matthew 17, verses 13 through 23. Jesus lays it on the line. You got two paths. You got a good one, you got a bad one. You got a narrow one, you got a wide one. You don't want to be on that wide road that leads to destruction. Don't listen to the false teachers, the false prophets that say there's many ways to heaven. You can work your way. No. Take the narrow road because, listen, it's serious. Because one day it could determine whether or not you will hear these horrible words from Jesus. Let's take a look there. Matthew 7, right? Let's take a look. Starting with verse 13. Jesus speaking, he says, "Enter through the what? The narrow gate." Why? Because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to what? Destruction. And what's he say? What's the key word? And many. Many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only what? Only a few find it. Jesus said, unfortunately, the bulk of the planet, the many, is taking the wrong road that leads to hell. The many of the planet are going to end up at the great white throne judgment. And then I don't think it's by chance, right after he says this, then he says, don't listen to these people. Because this is what false teachers, false preachers say. They lead people the wrong way, away from the narrow road, the only way through Jesus Christ. And that's why there's so many, because there's so many people listening to false teachers. And that's why he says this, watch out for what? False prophets is in the context. They come to you in sheep's clothing, right? They're going to look like a Christian, sound like a Christian. They're going to dress just like you. They're going to be in your midst. But inwardly, they're what? They're fake, man. In fact, they're ferocious wolves. Now, he says, you don't have to be caught off guard by their what? Their fruit. You're going to recognize these fake guys, right? And he says here, he gives you an analogy. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? What's the answer? No. Or figs from thistles? No. And then he keeps on going, right? Likewise, every good tree bears what? That's why it's a good tree. But a bad tree bears what? Bad fruit. It's just common sense, right? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is what? It is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. If they're preaching any other way than the narrow way, they are recognized. Bang, that is not a Christian. That is not from God. Shut it off. Get away. Run. And he says, here's why, right? So now we got into the two paths. Don't listen to the fake ones. Why do you not want to go down that road? Why do you not want to listen to the politically correct version? He says this, not everyone. Not everyone will say to me, and this is the context. Not everyone will say to me what? Not just once, but twice. Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many, who's the many? Who we just said in the context up above, the bulk of the planet. The bulk of the planet, the many will say to me on that day, again, judgment day. Lord, Lord, I mean, come on, didn't we do all these Christian things? I mean, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name we cast out these demons? It was a deliverance ministry and all that stuff. Surely, didn't we perform many miracles? And then watch Jesus say, then I will tell them plainly, listen to these words, I never knew you. Notice it wasn't, I knew you once and you lost your salvation, because you cannot lose your salvation. Praise God, amen? He said, I never knew you in the first place. You were fake the whole time. I never knew you, and what? Away from me. You evil doers, you may be seated. Wow, intense text here going on by Jesus. This is wild, right? And he lays it on the line because he loves people. He knows what's coming. He knows the danger of getting on the wrong road. He doesn't want people to go to hell. He certainly doesn't want to have to say these words to them at the great white throne judgment. Away from me, you evil doers, I never knew you. He says, not everyone who says to him, Jesus, Lord, Lord, really belongs to him, the Lord, okay? He says, one day the truth is coming out. You cannot hide anything from God. God sees in the dark. He sees it all. He sees the heart. Man looks on the outside, but God sees everything. And Jesus simply says, one day, everything is going to be revealed. And apparently on that day, there's going to be apparently a whole lot of false believers, false teachers, false prophets, false Christians, dare I say, that he's going to see right through. And he's going to say, these are the many. And the many follow this wide road, the easy road. Listen, the politically correct road. That says there's another way to heaven other than Jesus Christ. Is that popular today? Yes, it is. Remember we saw the stats? The American church today, 1/4 of the American church thinks that all paths lead to heaven. Excuse me? 1/4? In the church? In the church? Do people have the mindset that it's by going to a church service that you're saved or trying to be a good person? It's all over the place. Jesus said this is the wide road, the politically correct road. It's the easy road, but that road leads to what? Destruction. So therefore, he said, instead of hearing the words on that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter the joy of your master. He says, one day they will hear the words from me, Jesus, away from me. You evildoer, I never knew you. You were fake the whole time, and the only person you fooled was yourself. I saw it the whole time. Oh, you could fool the pastor. You could fool the church leadership. You could fool the people sitting next to you. But I saw through you the whole time. You never got on the narrow path. Away from me, you evil doers. Now, again, for those of you wondering, what day is he talking about? Most theologians believe it's the Great White Throne Judgment, the final judgment day called the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay, and if there's a place that you don't want to be, folks, it is here. Okay, you don't want to be one of these people being pulled up before this throne. But let's take a look at that text now. Revelation chapter 20 talks about that time frame. Verse 11 through 15. Then I saw a what? a great white throne, and him, God, who was seated on it. Listen, earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for him. God is so holy. He is so holy. The earth and the sky flees from his holy presence. And then I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books, plural, were opened, he says there. And the book, singular, another book, was opened. That's the book of life. And then the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded where? In the books, plural again. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead. These are people being brought up out of hell. Okay? They gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged at this great white throne. That's why it's called the great white throne judgment, right? Judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades, these people were thrown where? You went from the frying pan into the fire. You thought hell was bad? You just got raised up. Boom, now you're into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the fire. Where the Bible says that the Antichrist and the false prophet are and were at the end of the 7-year tribulation and still are in torment. They didn't get annihilated day and night forever and ever. But this is what the Bible says, okay? Now again, let me set the scene here by putting these two passages together. Let's go back, pull in your memory, Matthew 7, what we just saw, the day, Lord, Lord, and then what we just saw of the day, the great white throne judgment. Let's put them together. The Bible says that the final epoch of human history, because this is at the end, this is at the end. God is going to judge all the wicked dead. All those who ended up in hell through all man's history are going to be raised up for a short time at the great white throne judgment, and nobody is going to escape. Every single person in human history of all time around the world who rejected the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, what we've been celebrating for the last 2 weeks, right? It's what Christmas is supposed to be about. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ, that God cared enough to send his own son. He had to start somewhere. He came here as a baby. Christmas, the birth of Christ. Why? So that he could grow up to be a man. Okay, so he could die on the cross, take the death penalty in our place, forgive us and wipe us away of all of our sins. He rose again from the grave. He proved that he was the sinless, acceptable, perfect sacrifice, which means he absorbs the wrath of God for all of our sin committed against God. He didn't stay in the grave. And so therefore, he gives as a free gift. He did it all, a free gift of grace to any and all. If you would just receive what I have done for you, I will rescue you from that day. Judgment Day. Now, what's wild is the people start making excuses. And it's sad. And you know what's interesting when I find this text? What's interesting is this in this text, is these people, what was the excuses that they came up with? Right? It was, if you will, religious things. It wasn't, hey, we tried to be a good person, or hey, we didn't kick our dog too bad. Or we tried, no, what was it? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Hey, didn't we perform miracles? I mean, surely we were a Christian. That's what Christian, every single one of those non-Christians can do. They can be fake. That means from God. But they appealed to religious deeds. And here's what, so that means, where's the context of these people? They're not outside, a lot of them in just the world. Where are they at? These people, exactly, Bobby, they're in the midst, because that's what they appeal to. Which means, put this in your context. Apparently these people, even though every single year, because they're at the church services at least twice a year, you know, Christmas, and you got to at least go on those. But that's the reality. A lot of these people, they're in church services every single year. They hear this amazing message of total free forgiveness in Jesus Christ. His work on the cross will absorb the wrath of God. You can be set free from that day. Whoa! They reject it. They're right there every single year. Every single year they go through the motions. They punch in the time clock. They wear the clothes. They say the right things. But apparently they still reject it. And because they reject the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, instead trusted in their own works. Why do we know that? Because the books were opened. You don't want to trust in my son, Jesus Christ. And because when you do, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The book, singular. But you didn't want to do that. So we've been recording because we see it all. So they appealed to their own works, religious works. And because they rejected the work of Jesus Christ and instead trusted their own works to get them to heaven, the Bible says their name is not recorded in the book of life, and they will hear those fateful words. Who's that? With Jesus. I mean, think about it, because the heavenly host is all there. And all of a sudden, these people of all history in hell, they get raised up. And the angels got to be blown away, and they're going like, well, who? Because remember Jesus, he says, Lord, they're going to say to me on that day, Lord. So Jesus is there. And they, who's that? Who's that with Jesus? I mean, that's not one of his children. They don't belong to God. They never trusted in him and his work on the cross and for the forgiveness of their sins. I mean, who's that with Jesus? And then the books that have recorded every single thing that they've ever done again throughout all their lives, everything, will be opened up. The truth will be laid bare before the universe. And even then, they still try to defend themselves. Not just once, but the text says twice there. Lord? Lord? It's almost like they're shocked. So put it in its context. Again, who are these people being raised up here at the great white throne judgment? Let me get the chronological order. The next thing on God's prophetic time calendar is the rapture, which could happen at any moment. Shortly after that, you have the seven-year tribulation. At the end of the seven-year tribulation is the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? And at the end of the, shortly after the second coming of Jesus, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, he establishes the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, the Bible says there's one final rebellion. And then God puts that rebellion down, bang, just like that, boom! Great white throne judgment. And then after the great white throne judgment is what theologians call the state of eternity. And so shall it always be. No more sin, no more devil, no more none of that stuff. So this is at the very final epoch. So the people being raised up is throughout all of human history. All those people who went to church services, who rejected Jesus Christ. All those people who thought that there was multitude of ways to heaven. All those people who thought, no, I'm good enough to get there on my own. All those people who've been in hell this whole time. What's the Bible said? We did 2 weeks on that study on hell. Please don't go to hell. What's all the torment and the agony and the weeping and the gnashing of teeth and how? And they've been in there for different time frames. Maybe it could have been, 2,000 years ago, they've been in there the whole time, and all of a sudden, they're out. And they look around, and you go, it's almost like you could say, oh, yeah. I didn't think that was ever going to end. That torment, that agony. And it's gone. Did I get out? Did I get out of hell? Am I free? And they look around, and what do they see? A big, giant throne, the great white throne, and him who's seated on it, God. And then they see the book of life, and then, if you will, their excitement goes to, oh, no. I mean, for a moment there, they've got to go like, yeah, no. You can almost see it on their faces, and their legs are trembling, and then, my name is not in that book. And then they start to open up. And then even at that point, they prove the proof is in the pudding. Even at that point, they, what do? Lord? Lord? It's almost like they're saying, like, what have I been doing in hell? I mean, I'm glad I'm out now, but man, come on, man, that was, whoa! Lord? Lord? And then what do they say? Didn't we? What do they appeal to? That's why they went to hell. But Jesus said on that day, they're going to just be, oh, Lord, Lord, no, no. I thought we could get out. No, Lord, come on. I mean, didn't we just, come on, we prophesied in your name. How many fake prophets are there in the world today? In the church? Oh, God told me to tell you to this, that. The prophet is, and the prophet is. I don't, that doesn't make you a prophet of God. But God, we had this deliverance ministry, man. Isn't that a rampant thing in the church today? Oh, we were casting out demons. That make you a Christian? But God would perform miracles. I mean, we had this big show and we had this TV program. And people would come for miles to our healing conferences. Doesn't mean it's from God. And then you charge people. If you really had that gift, it's the most cruelest thing. Away from me, you evildoers. You should have been to every single hospital laying hands on people and healing every last one of them. But you charged. And then when they weren't healed because it was a bunch of baloney anyway, you blamed it on them and said it's because they didn't have enough faith or they didn't sow enough money into your ministry. You evildoers. But that's what these people appeal to. That's the context. See how they fit together? Matthew 7, Revelation 20. It's mind-blowing. And here's the whole point. How sad it is because at that point they're going, Lord, Lord, come on, man, we did this. I mean, we went to services and surely we were saved. We did all this Christian stuff. And he says, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. And they go from hell into the lake of fire forever. From the frying pan into the fire. You thought it was bad here? You ain't seen nothing. Forever and ever and ever. But the emotional angst of being wrenched out of hell just for a moment of relief. Only to, oh no, Lord. And they still get it wrong. Do you wonder why Jesus laid it on the line? And he loved people enough to tell them the truth? I beg you. My words have been recorded for you for 2,000 years. Don't take that wide road. Don't listen to these false teachers and false prophets who say there's another way, or you can get there on your own, or you don't need only the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't listen, because on that day, you're going to be raised up, and that will be your future. Now, that's just setting the scene. Now, I want to share two reasons why I believe the mass of the planet, what's the words Jesus uses there? Many. I didn't say he did. Versus the what? Few. We've talked about this before. Every time you do a statistic in the United States of America on who's a Christian, just a general Gallup poll or whatever, and you use that general statistic, hey, how many guys are a Christian? Always comes back high. Always comes back high. High 80, something like that. Oh, we're a Christian. George Barna, several years, many years ago, he did one, and he got specific. He says, oh, I'm not just going to ask you that, because a lot of people say they're Christian, they're not. He got specific, and he says, how many guys are Christian in that? You were born again Christian because you have trusted solely on the work of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You believe in your heart that he is the Lord, that God raised him from the grave. It's only his sacrifice that's getting you there, etc., etc., etc. Came back 6%. The many think they're going. Only a few are really trusting in that narrow way that leads to life. Now again, here's two reasons why I think the many. I wish it wasn't many, but I got to deal with the text. What did Jesus say? Many. The bulk of our planet is going to hell. The bulk of our planet is going to the great white throne judgment, and they're going to experience that. Why? Number one is because they have the audacity to think that they don't need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. They think they do not need the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what we saw before. It was Isaiah, right? Isaiah. Let's take a look at that text. Isaiah 64, 5 through 6. How then can we what? Be saved. We got to first admit, I need a Savior. I'm doomed. I'm in trouble. That's a healthy place to be if you turn to Christ. And he tells us that's the logical thing because, listen, all of us, if we're honest, have become like one who is what? Unclean. Oh, but I know what I'll do. I'll start doing good deeds. No. He says all of our righteous acts are like what? Filthy rags. I'll expound on that in a second. And because of that, we all shrivel up like a leaf and like a wind, our sins just sweep us away. We're in trouble, we're doomed. We're covered in sin, we're disqualified. What's Paul saying in Romans chapter 3? All have sinned, myself included. We fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. There is no fear of God before you. You're not even afraid of that day. Even though Jesus loved you enough to tell you the truth. So you could escape it. Just receive his gift. Freely. And so that's what Isaiah says. He says, this is our predicament. How in the world can we be saved and for honest with ourselves as if God doesn't know? We need a Savior, right? We've all blown it, myself included, seriously. But in comparison to God who is holy, who is holy, who is holy, there is no sin, no shadow, no darkness. We can't even approach him. Our sins just sweep us away. There's no way on our own we're ever going to have that intimate relationship with God. You might try. You can think, oh, I'm going to somehow get rid of it. You can't get rid of the sin. I'm going to work it off. I'm going to try these good things. I'm going to go. No, it just sweeps you away. You try all these. It just sweeps you away. It's impossible. You cannot undo on your own the stain of sin. There's only one thing that can remove that stain. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Or we can find somebody worse than us. Isn't that the game that people play? Well, at least I'm not like, I won't even say his name. Right. Yeah, sorry, you're in my line of sight. Mystery man, whoever you are. But isn't that the game? Even the world plays that one. Oh, at least I'm not like Jeffrey Dahmer or some serial murderer. Hey, I'm not like, who's the one that everybody always pulls this around? I'm not like Hitler. Yeah. At least I didn't do what he... The standard is not trying to find somebody worse than you. Oh, we could all play that game. The standard is perfection. What? Yes, I didn't say it. God did. See, God is holy. He is holy. He is holy. What's holy mean? Without sin. Perfect. And what's the Bible say? Be ye holy. Old and New Testament. Be ye holy as I am holy. What's that mean? Be ye perfect as I am perfect. You want a relationship with me? You want to get to heaven on your own? You want to escape that day? Be perfect. What's the problem? You can't be perfect. And this is the dilemma, especially in marriage, because we all know. You know, our spouse, right? Just, that's their problem. They don't realize that we're perfect. And all the problems that we have is them, right? It's like the one guy, he says, listen, hey, I'm not doubting. I know I married Mrs. Wright. I married Mrs. Wright. I just didn't know her first name was Always. Okay. But be ye perfect. We can't. You tried to play that game, even in marriage, but you can't. God sees the heart, right? And then to make matters worse, how can we be saved? Our sins sweep us away. Oh, we need a Savior. That's the right response. But tucked right there in the middle, what's Isaiah say? Oh, no. There's going to be those people who actually want to think it's on their own righteousness, their right things that they think are going to earn merit with God. They're actually going to trust in that. And the word that he uses there before, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to be graphic again because God is graphic. The word that he used there, that when the people that do that, that trust in their own works, their own goodness, he said that is a filthy rag. In the Hebrew, it's a menstrual rag. Let me break it down a step further in the vernacular. He was saying, listen, that is like, here's how God feels. When you come before the throne room of God and you're trusting in your own righteousness, your own good deeds to somehow outdo the bad deeds, it's like having the audacity to come before God and says, God, I don't need the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to produce my own blood and I'm going to throw a bloody tampon at your feet. That's good enough, isn't it? What? That's what a filthy... It's a menstrual rag. I don't need the blood of... I'll produce my own blood, and I'll throw it at your feet. Put this again with Matthew 7. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, get away from me. He said, away from you, what? Evil doers. And that's what these people in that text were appealing to. Their works. And Isaiah says, are you serious? You realize how evil that is? Listen to what, no wonder he says, can you imagine somebody throwing a bloody tampon at the feet of Christ saying, this is my ticket to heaven? Because that's what our righteousness is compared to Christ's work on the cross, trying to get there in our own behavior. And this is exactly what a person is doing when you think it's by going to a church service, maybe even twice a year. Whoa! Christmas and Easter, Resurrection Day, any other service for the man, and that's how you're going to get to heaven. God says that's, you just threw a bloody tampon before my throne. When you think it's by doing good deeds, or at least enough good deeds to tip the scales 51% to 49% instead of trusting Christ and his work on the cross for the complete forgiveness of your sins, you just chucked a bloody tampon at the throne room of God. When you think it's by being baptized or becoming a church member or serving the church leadership or being an upright citizen or serving the church period or even giving to the church. And that's how you're going to get to heaven. You might as well just take a whole box of them. A whole box of bloody tampons and say, there you go, God. That's good enough. Let me in. Again, what's the word Jesus says? Away from me. You evil doers. What? I never knew you. To be cast into the lake of fire. Or as the heavenly host says, if you will, who's that with Jesus? That's not his child. Wow. Now that's the first reason. The second reason why that people find themselves in that predicament is because they don't think they can receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Now this is the trick of the evil one, right? They don't think they can receive the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, okay? This is where people go to the other end of the spectrum, right? They don't try to justify their behavior. They know. They know what they've done. They don't try to work it off by throwing tampons at the feet of God. No, they know they've blown it before a righteous, holy God. They know there's no way they can cleanse themselves from the sin, no matter how much they try to scrub. They know they're cut off from God. They know they deserve to go to hell, not to heaven. And because of this, they think the enemy gets them to think they've just done too much. No, you don't understand. I've witnessed to these people. I'm sure you have. You don't understand. I can't be saved. You don't know what I've done. Have you heard that before? Not even God can. Yes, he can. That's a lie from the pit of hell to say that Christ's blood is not sufficient to forgive you of your sins no matter what you've done. That's what these people do. They get tricked. And because of that, they think that the deeds they've done, they're just too big. There's too much that God can't forgive. God can't forgive them. But listen, that's the great news of the cross of Jesus Christ. That's why we're celebrating for Christmas, for the birth of Christ that instituted this whole plan. The cross of Jesus Christ. Listen, he didn't wait for us to become perfect. He died for us when we were imperfect, completely unacceptable. This is the powerful message. Romans chapter 5. Let's take a look at this. Romans 5, 6 through 8. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, oh God, our sins just sweep us away. Our righteousness is filthy rags. I'll never get, oh no, I'm doomed. Christ what? Well, you better clean up your act. You better turn your life around here before you start showing up to church services. I'll tell you what. You better start getting it right, man, because if you don't tip those scales, 51 to 49, you're in trouble. Well, we're all doomed straight to hell, myself included. His love. His, you know what? Yeah, I know. I see it all. I've watched the whole thing. I've watched your whole life. I know everything you've done. The books. Where it's been recorded. I still died for you. I made a way. You weren't worthy. I didn't have to do this. I came of my own volition. Christ died for who? Not his best buddies. Not his friends. Not those that weren't so bad. Not those that were at least not like Hitler. He died for us, all of us, myself included, the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still what? We were sinners, doomed, headed straight to hell. Christ died for us. That's what's so amazing about Christmas. That's what's so powerful about the cross. Jesus Christ, God did not wait for us to become perfect, because if he was waiting for anybody, myself included, to become perfect before they could get to heaven, guess what he'd be doing? He'd still be waiting. Because none of us could be. Ever. Ever. But rather, he did what only God could do. Listen, he made us perfect through the perfection of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? It's an accounting term that's used. How many guys into accounting? Yeah, well, none of you. I knew you wouldn't raise your hand. I love accounting. But you got to love this accounting. It's like a ledger, right? You got the positive, you got the negative, right? And here we have all this negative, right? All the sins in our ledger. Folks, this is what the Bible teaches in the vernacular. And then Jesus' ledger is what? Of course, only the positive. And when we say yes to Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, you know what God does to our ledger? He takes, it's called the imputation. He takes the righteousness of Christ, all that, he's perfect, and he puts it in our ledger, and Christ takes away all of our negative, our sin. It's gone, wiped clean. So that right now, even though we don't see it, it's called a positional truth in the Bible. Right now, God sees us through the lens of the blood of Jesus Christ, and he only sees us as if we're perfect. Now, that could start an argument on the way home with your spouse, and you're going to undermine what I just talked about. It's a positional truth, but it's amazing. It doesn't mean you are perfect, but that's how God sees us. That's why we can have a relationship with him here now, before heaven. Because he sees us through those rose-colored glasses. He sees us, what's the word, justification, just as if I've never sinned. Can you believe that? Not in the future, not when we get to heaven. Right now, God sees us, not tomorrow. Right now, God sees us as if we've never sinned. Our ledger is nothing but righteousness. What's the word that we've seen before? Saints. What saints mean? It's hagios. It means holy one. What? God is what? Holy. He makes us holy through Christ. He wipes out the sin. He sees us as a saint, a holy one. Okay, I'll let you do this one to your spouse. Turn to your spouse, whatever their name is, say saint, and fill in their blank. All right, St. Brandy, she's right there. I had to do it. And I'm glad that my wife and I did that. I wish the rest of you would, but I'm not bitter about it. No, come on. No, seriously. That's who we are. We're a saint. We're a hagios. We're a holy one. We're perfectly loved, perfectly set. We're his bride, spotless, blameless. Can you imagine that right now? That's what Christ has done for us. But these people think that, no, there are just some things that the blood of Christ cannot forgive. That's not true. That's not true. One guy, he puts it this way. He says, man, I always had this fear of going to heaven. He's afraid of going to heaven. He said, yeah. He said, I had this feeling that they were gonna pull down this big movie screen, right? And they're going to place this videotape of all my sins that I ever committed, and my mother would be there. Now, he goes on to say, now, I don't know if they have a tape on me recording all my sins, and I don't know if they got a tape on you recording all your sins. Listen, but we do know books are recording. But listen, those books are talking about non-Christians. Here's what he says for the Christian. He says, listen, the good news of the cross of Jesus Christ is this. Jesus Christ, his blood on the cross, he has erased your tape. Now, you guys, I get it. You're not charismatic. But for just 5 seconds, give me a charismatic response. Jesus Christ has erased your tape. Right on. Praise God. The scripture says that your sins are gone. They're blotted. Remembered no more. And he says, that thrills me, man, because I'm going to be there on that day. I'm going to walk before the Lord, and Jesus will be there. All my sins forgiven and forgotten, buried into the deepest sea, remembered no more. And listen, with a record whoosh, that's washed clean, with my sins that are purged, the Father will embrace me, and I will call him Abba Father. That's what I get to experience forever and ever. Why? I wasn't trusting in my own works. Are you kidding me? My sins have swept me away. Everything I could do was just like trying to... I'm not throwing those things at the feet of Christ. My own good... I'm trusting the cross of Christ. That's your future. Christ can forgive you no matter what you've done. That's how powerful his blood is. And you guys know my testimony. Who am I? I'm an ex-headbanger, drug addict, sex moral militiaman, pig guy involved in the cult. I hated Christians. I blasphemed God. 24 years ago, I woke up that day. I wasn't getting ready to preach a sermon. Are you kidding me? I woke up drunk on the floor. I had copious amounts of drugs coursing through my veins. But by that afternoon, Resurrection Sunday, 1993, all alone in my apartment, I simply called upon the name of Jesus Christ, asked him to forgive me of all my sins, and he did. And instantly, I was delivered from the drugs and the immorality and the demons. And the sin was gone. Brand new creature in Christ. Delivered. And so to me, the message is clear. Give me a break. There is nothing that you have done that God cannot forgive. If he forgave me, he can forgive you. Listen, if he could use me, even to this day, listen, he could use you. That's the great news, the power of the cross of Christ. No one is beyond the forgiveness of Jesus. If you would just stop trusting in your works, and come to the cross of Christ and say, that's what I trust in. That's it. He's done it all. But what's Jesus say? Even though every year they come to the religious services, Christmas, Easter,
the bulk of the planet, even after what I just shared, they will go out those doors, leave here, and reject it. And one day they will die, they will go straight to hell, and one day they will be there, hearing those words from Jesus at the great white throne judgment, "Away from me, you evildoer." And listen, they didn't have to. Why would you reject such awesome news? And so that's what I lay before you as we close today. Two roads, that's where it all started, remember? Two roads. And every one of us are on one of those two roads. The two roads that Jesus talked about at the beginning, he says the two roads that are going to determine your destiny. Don't listen to those false teachers. But which one is it going to be for you? Because you have to make that choice. Is it going to be the narrow one that leads to life? Well, what is that road? Well, Jesus tells us what that road is. He is the road, right? John 14:6, "I am the way." You know what it is in the Greek? It literally means road or highway. Jesus said, "I am that road that I was talking about seven chapters earlier. I am the road. I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him." He's it. Jesus Christ is the narrow road. Are you trusting in the narrow road? Are you trusting only? That's why it's called narrow. It's exclusive. It's not inclusive. They all get to the no. It's narrow. One way. Through Jesus Christ. Are you trusting in the forgiveness of Christ on the cross only and alone to get you to the Father? Or is it that wide road? The easy one. The politically correct one. Everybody could stay your friend. I would rather have somebody be a true friend to me and love me enough to tell me the truth that there is a dangerous wide road that I need to get off on so I would escape hell than to keep their mouth shut and let me go there. I don't want friends like that. And hopefully we're not playing that game either. But is it the wide road, the easy one, the politically correct one, the one that says all paths, all people are going to heaven no matter what, even though Jesus said that leads to horrible, horrible destruction? And so I want to close today to leave with you. What must it be like when God sees what Jesus is saying here? The many throughout history on our planet are rejecting Jesus Christ. And they're going straight to hell. The many. I wonder if it looks something like this video. Well, look at this. Every day, the many around our planet, no matter how many times you say it as a Christian, no matter how many times they come to a church service, there they go. They just keep going in. And it doesn't stop. Again, this is throughout the last 2,000 years. They keep going in. They just don't stop. There they go. There goes your neighbor. There goes the people in your neighborhood, the many. The co-workers that God wanted you to witness to, your family. Grandmas, grandpas, aunts. Uncle, the guy you keep meeting at the grocery store, you really think that's by chance? And they just keep going. Every single day. Not just here in Las Vegas. Every day, people are going straight to hell. The many, this is the road they're on. It leads to destruction. Not here in the United States. Every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, here in the United States and every country around the world, they just keep going. And going. And going. The statistics are that there's 1.8 deaths per second. Almost 2 people per second. Over 100 deaths per minute. Thousands of people right now have gone statistically to hell since we've been listening to this sermon. There's over 55 million deaths per year. And they just keep going. And Jesus said the bulk of these people, they end up in hell because they reject him. As one guy said, and I'll say it to you, do you realize that one of these clicks has your name on it? We're all marching towards the grave at different speeds. And this is what Jesus is trying to warn us about. Church, don't ever lose your zealousness for the lost. Because while we are surrounded by so much cushion, this is God's view of the planet. No wonder 2,000 years ago, Jesus laid it on the line. Please don't. Don't listen to those false teachers. I don't care if they're behind a pulpit. I don't care how many degrees they got. I don't care if they wear robes. There's only one way, the narrow way. Don't fill up hell. The bulk of the planet. And again, I remind you, in Matthew 7, what did the people appeal to? Religious deeds. Where were they? In our midst. That makes it doubly sad. Because here you were every single year. Every single year at Easter Resurrection Day, you hear about the good news of the resurrection of Christ. You spent the last 2 weeks with us. Woo! The birth of Christ that got it all started. Yeah! To rescue us from that. And you clapped. You sang. You stood when you're supposed to, sat when you're supposed to. But you walked out of here and you rejected Christ again. And one day you died. And you went to hell. And in the midst of that torment, for however long that is, all of a sudden, for a brief moment, you're raised before that throne. Only to hear, it just got worse. Away from me, you evildoer. You didn't trust in my son. You thought your own bloody tampon was going to get you there. How dare you? I loved you. I gave you my son. I did everything for you. I loved you. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is not willing that any should perish. People don't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell. God made a way out. I don't know where you're at here today. I don't know your heart. But if you're not trusting solely in the work of Jesus Christ, you need to get saved today. You need to get off that wide road and get onto the only road, the narrow road, Jesus Christ, before it's too late. So that you will not hear those words, who's that with Jesus? But instead, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of your master. Amen? Let's pray. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you enjoyed today's study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. Are you sure that if you were to die today that you go to heaven and not hell? Now, before you answer that, let me share with you a couple things that the Bible says. The Bible says that God is holy and that we are not. And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. We don't deserve to go to heaven when we die. We deserve to go down. We deserve to go to hell. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this problem that we have, that we're separated from God not only now, but we're going to be separated from Him for all eternity in a place called hell. We don't even want to admit that. So once again, out of love, God gives us what's called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were God's x-ray, if you will, divine x-ray to get us to admit the problem that we have inside that's separating us from Him. Let's take a look at a few of those, of God's divine x-ray. For instance, if you think that you're worthy on your own, you don't need a Savior, you're going to get to heaven all by yourself, then let's take a look at God's test there. The Ten Commandments. The ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That means lying. How many of you have ever told a lie before? Raise your hand. Okay? If you didn't raise your hand, you just told one. But folks, we've all done that. That makes us a liar. The Ten Commandments, God's x-ray, showing us that we have sin that's separating us from Him. We're not holy and perfect like Him. The fifth commandment says this, you shall not steal. Don't ever once take anything without permission. How many of you have ever done that? Well, if we're not going to tell another lie, we should all admit that as well. Well, that makes us a thief now. The Bible says that God is so holy, even His name is holy. And that's why the Ten Commandments says, you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. And if we're honest again, folks, hey, a lot of us, how many of us have used the blessed name of Jesus Christ, the only name the Bible says under heaven, that men might be saved? We've now turned it into a common cuss word, if you can believe that. The Bible says that's the sin of blasphemy. The Bible also says, hey, you want to show God you're so perfect, you have no sin, then don't ever once commit adultery. And you might say, well, I've never done that, really? Jesus lays the standard before us. God looks at the heart, man looks on the outside. Jesus said, if you ever looked with lust in your eye at another person, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's His holy standard. One more, the Bible says, okay, you think you're so good, then don't ever once commit murder. You shall not murder. And you might say, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? The Bible again says that the sin of hatred, wishing someone was dead, is akin to the sin of murder. It's just, if you will, you pull the trigger in your heart. So how are you doing? That's just 5 out of 10 of God's divine x-ray, by the way, showing us the problem. How are you doing? Not if, but when your time comes, we're all going to stand before God. You will be forced to admit what he already knows. Hey, God, let me in. Let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer, an adulterer, and a murderer. And the Bible is clear. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not headed to heaven in that state. You're headed to hell. But here's the good news. God said if we would just admit this, number one, then he could fix it. And it gets fixed only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the life, and the truth, and nobody comes to the Father but by me. Why? Because only Jesus lived the perfect life in our place. And Jesus died on the cross. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be set free. And since we weren't there, and since it's a gift and we can't earn it, we have to receive that wonderful gift by faith. And the Bible says God will pardon us for our crimes, our sins, against him. And you could actually see this analogy working in the natural, in the normal world. We see this actually in the courtroom. For instance, if a person is guilty and everybody knows they're guilty, they've committed a horrible crime and the sentence has passed, the judge has knocked down the gavel and says, hey, you are going to jail, you are going to the death penalty for that crime. And we know that people, that happens all the time, and they go to jail, but believe it or not, did you know there's a way for that person, even though they're guilty, to actually be set free from that crime? It's called a pardon. And the one in authority, the governor, has the pardon out of mercy, out of goodness, certainly nothing that person did in jail. They can't undo the crime. It's too late. But out of mercy, the governor could go down there and grant that person in jail a full pardon for their crimes. And by receiving that pardon, the doors come open and they are set free and they're rescued from the death penalty. Folks, that's what God is doing every single day with us spiritually. He has allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to take the death penalty in our place. He's pardoned us, but a pardon does you no good unless you reach out and receive it. And it's actually been on historical record that there have been people on death row who a governor has gone down out of mercy and extended to them a full pardon, but they've rejected it. And by their own doing, they went to the death penalty. Folks, don't make that same mistake for all eternity. God loves you. He's willing to forgive you of anything and everything you've ever done. All of it. Even the sins we don't even know about. He wants to pardon you and forgive you, but you must receive that by faith today. The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you call upon his name, ask him to forgive you of all your sins, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Please do that now. Please do that today, because tomorrow may be too late. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. Again, thank you for joining us. If there's anything that you need, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our information and number and things will pop up here on the screen here shortly. And remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.